Today is October 16th, 2024, and we are in the Tom Baker Meeting Room and on Zoom to conduct the regularly scheduled meeting of the Historic Preservation Commission meeting. As always, I thank Dakota Media Access for making sure that we have a remote option for this meeting. I have silenced my phone, I hope. I hope everybody else will do the same. And if you would refrain from having your mic on unless you're speaking, I'd appreciate it. If you're on Zoom, you can use whatever hand thing it is, and you'll be called on if we notice it, which we will, of course. Annie, will you please call the roll?
Commissioner Engel?
Here.
Commissioner Jackson?
Here.
Commissioner Swanson?
Here.
Commissioner Nodland?
Here.
Commissioner Zinker?
Here.
Chair Sackerson?
Here. All right. I have on my agenda that we have meeting information, historic preservation reports. Is that what we're doing first?
Chair Sackerson and commissioners, that's just on there just to provide an update on the reports that we have ongoing for Section 106 or any other reports that happen. There's no changes.
Nothing there. Okay, thank you, Lauren. So we will have, I'll be looking for approval for the meeting of last month.
Move to approve.
We have a motion from Commissioner Zinker. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a second from Commissioner Jackson. No corrections or discussion? All right, then we can call the roll.
Commissioner Swanson?
Yes.
Commissioner Nodland?
Yes.
Commissioner Zinker?
Yes.
Commissioner Jackson?
Yes.
Commissioner Engel?
Yes.
And Chair Sackerson?
Yes. All right, so minutes are approved. Moving on then to the regular agenda. I see we have an introduction to the Forestry Department by the former forester.
Afternoon. My name is Doug Wiles. I'm the Assistant City Administrator for the City of Bismarck. But previously, as of, until May, I was a city forester. So I'm here to just give a brief description, hopefully have a conversation about what it is that the Forestry Division does for the City of Bismarck. Are any of you familiar with forestry? Excuse me, or familiar with the services that we provide? Amy could probably do this presentation.
I think two of us are.
Above average. Yeah,
above average. So the Forestry Division takes care of all the trees in the city. Specifically, we provide the maintenance, all maintenance on boulevard trees and bark trees. So that's between the sidewalk and curb. And we provide 24/7 storm response as well. So if there's a storm event, our staff is going to be there to solve the problem that occurs as a result of the storm. We will prune trees on a rotational basis. We try to keep everything on a schedule as much as possible. That's how we're most efficient, but we do report to concerns or obstructions in the right-of-way or traffic signals, things like that. And we do that pruning primarily in the fall and winter months or early spring before leaves leaf out or buds break. We try to avoid pruning during that time because that's when the trees are trying to grow, they're trying to put on biomass, so we don't want to cut that away. It causes them to stress and then be more susceptible to other insects and diseases. During the summer, early spring, prior to it warming up and we start lacking some precipitation, we try to get all of our planting done that we do in the department. We don't, City of Bismarck staff doesn't plant a ton of trees in the city. Considering how many trees we have about 25,000 boulevard trees in the city. We probably only plant at the most 300 for staff, but we have the Partners in Planting program, which is a cost share. So we receive funds privately and the city will match up to 10,000. So it's about a $20,000 budget annually. And then citizens can request to participate. So that would involve a site inspection to determine which tree should be planted in the boulevard, depending on the amount of area and what other conflicts or obstructions there would be in the boulevard. And then the citizen would purchase the tree, plant it, we would follow up with an inspection, make sure it's done correctly, and then issue a rebate following that inspection. So annually with street improvement projects, city staff planting trees, and with partners in planting. We're getting close to averaging about 1,000 trees a year planted in our community. We also do tree removals. That could be from storm damage, it could be from just trees having accumulated stress over time and just declining, or they're hazardous. We remove anywhere from 250 to 400 trees a year, depending on diseases and droughts and things like that. And that's primarily the main functions of the Forestry Division. We do have an agreement with Parks and Rec, two different political subdivisions, but we do work for Parks, and they contribute 20% of our operations budget every year. And so we are very responsive to them. If we have a storm, they obviously have a storm as well, so we have to balance that along with doing regularly scheduled maintenance. So they've been a pretty good partner to work with, a really good partner, not a pretty good. So we do a lot of work, and we don't have a huge staff. We have a very good staff, very technically savvy. So we have four arborists, which are ISA certified, which is an international certification for arborists. And then we have an open city forester position right now, a programs coordinator who primarily manages the partners in planting. They do a lot of contract administration, and they do a lot of our grant work as well. And then we have the weed officer, who is an arborist during the winter months, but during the summer obviously handles all the complaints about the tall grass and noxious weeds that we have from time to time in our community. And then we have a landscape arborist, which works with the community development department quite a bit in making sure that new developments, that's institutional, commercial, and let's see, anyway, we have a landscaping and screening ordinance where landscaping is required to be installed as part of that development. And the landscape arborist is the one that reviews those plans with a planner from the city, and then goes out and does inspections. There's lots going on. Specifically, that's just a big overview. We have, how much in the details do you guys want to go on this? Amy, you can ask some very good questions if you want.
Well, I'll let other people ask some questions if they have any questions particularly.
I've got a tree that
I figured it would go this route at some point.
Commissioner Notlin has a question.
Thank you for your presentation. I have some questions about some of the plantings and I'm wondering if you can help us understand what the historical plantings are. I don't know how the where it says Bismarck on the east side of town is.
Or Centennial Forest.
Yeah, Centennial Forest.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think there's the Arboretum, which I know was moved at some point. And so I don't know when that was moved. And then I'm wondering about do you guys take care of the trees on the Capitol grounds, or is that
no, separate?
Okay.
Those are good questions.
And then one more is that I know the Cathedral District. So I'm just wondering if you can help us as the Historic Preservation Commission understand what, if there are other like trees that were planted.
Of significance. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good question. The Bismarck trees are this Centennial Forest on the east side of town. We do provide maintenance there. We just went in there two summers ago and did some thinning. There's a lot of volunteer growth that was occurring underneath the canopy. So we did a lot of thinning there. And if you look at it, you can actually see it on Google Earth images. You know, you can get the different timestamps on the aerials, and you can see the difference from when we went in there a couple years ago to now. So that was in 1972, right? That's the Centennial. So we have that forest. We did do a sesquicentennial tree planting, which will now have this historical significance at New Generations Park. The Cathedral District, those trees are mentioned in the National Registry, right, Amy?
Yes, the trees, the boulevard trees within the borders of the Cathedral Area Historic District are a site in themselves. You know, each house is a site, but the boulevard trees also are a site and thus are protected by certain federal laws.
So we approach those trees different. We view those trees different. They have a higher value because of that. But when we're managing trees, it's still a living organism that we have to manage for insect and disease and hazards. So in some ways we look at it differently. We try to preserve as much as we can, but if at ever a point it's going to affect the urban forest as a whole, we're not going to allow it to be on boulevard if it's unsafe for our citizens. So we do everything we can to preserve that population of elm trees primarily, and that's evident as we've been able to retain over 3,000 elm trees throughout the history of Dutch elm disease, which was the late 70s. And there's just three communities that have an extensive population of elm trees in our state. So we've done a really great job and have devoted a lot of resources to ensure that portion of our community has that mature canopy cover. The Arboretum, I don't know when it moved. That's a Rotary project, if I recall correctly.
I think they moved it when they opened the north side of the additional links, when they moved the first hole from the Tom O'Leary to the new Schomburg place.
Yeah, and the focus of that Arboretum was native plantings. At least that's what all the plaques are throughout the trail system there. It's a nice little hike. You have some very interesting tree species. You have Pinus flexilis, which is very rare. We have a small population of them in the Badlands by Marmoth, I believe. And so it's kind of neat to see what's throughout the state in that Arboretum.
I have a question. I was recently looking at a collection of material up in the archives from the 20s, and in it had a list of all the original plantings for a couple of the parks in Bismarck in the 20s, you know, by species. But they had something called a bull pine. Is that a ponderosa? I'd never heard the term before.
I would assume it's a ponderosa pine, but I've never heard of common name.
Interesting. It was interesting to see a name like what? Looking at that, I didn't know what it was. I thought, well, maybe you'd know off the top of your head. Darn. but it is interesting that from a Historic Preservation Commission standpoint, the ideals that we can see that were held by people in this community, the planners and all that in this community over the last 150 years, we can see traces of what their intent was. And I find that really interesting. And forestry, I know, has done a really good job at, particularly in the Cathedral District, of being respectful of the fact that this was planned. You know, it wasn't random, people weren't just allowing trees to grow up, whatever, it was a planned thing. And that tells us something about our community's history.
I appreciate you saying that, Chair. We do pay a little bit of special attention to what we put back in the Cathedral District to try to recover that canopy that was lost. So when the city specifically is initiating the planting, because we allow citizens to kind of choose within a group of trees. But if we're going to plant trees in the Cathedral District, we're going to choose trees that have a similar canopy structure as the American elm. And that could be hackberry or other elm cultivars that don't get Dutch elm disease, things like that. So we try to respect what was accomplished for the Cathedral District.
Thanks. Yeah, it really does. Commissioner Nunn, you had a question?
Yeah, thank you. Are there any others any other trees that you know that were planted in honor of anybody or for special occasions like presidential visits or anything like that? Do you guys keep track of that kind of stuff?
There was a World War II memorial planting at the State Library. There was a tree corps done, I think it was in 2018, just to confirm that. It's one that I'm aware of. There's memorial plantings all over the city. Parks and Rec primarily is the location where those trees have been planted, and we try to do that because we don't want them to be moved or to be cut down. So we usually will direct that effort to Parks and Rec where they have more open space, or there's an area that isn't planned or isn't part of a master plan improvement for Parks and Rec. I'm not real familiar with other memorial type plantings or specific memorial type plantings around town that would have addressed any significant event.
What are the, how do you guys operate with it when certain trees are like considered, they're designated as a like a great example of a tree? I know we have
sure.
a few of those.
State lists.
What is that?
State champion trees.
Yeah.
We have several that have made like the top two or three, and we have a couple of champions in town. So for instance, and we can dive into the next part that I wanted to bring attention to. We have a pest that we will have in the near future if we don't have it already. It's called emerald ash borer. And so the city has been executing a preemptive plan to manage our ash population so that it is least impactful to the community financially when we do confirm it and the population really establishes. And we have the state champion green ash tree. So in that situation, and it's on La Forest, 1900 block of La Forest, if you're curious, we would make sure that tree is protected through injections of insecticide for the rest of its life until we have to remove it because it's hazardous. So we do look for legacy type trees or great specimens that will do what we can to preserve, if that means injecting with an insecticide or taking special precautions during construction, we can do that on public property.
Commissioner Jackson?
So I live in the Cathedral District, and we've done the Partners in Planting program on our boulevard, which I think is a great program. But we've also been doing some inoculations of some of our elms that are in our yard and not on the boulevard. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, what is the science on those inoculations? Are they, how effective are they? For our elm trees, for example.
Mr. Jackson, that's a good question. For Dutch elm disease, it's about 50% successful, which is why only one company is doing it. We had more than that in the past, but due to the lack of success, it was hard for them to perform a service that they couldn't guarantee to be successful, if that makes sense. So for Dutch elm disease inoculations, it's about 50%. It's still worth it, in my opinion, but I was the previous city forester, so I have I'm a little biased in that regard. But if you have a mature elm tree that's providing great benefits for your property or the neighboring property, I would say it's worth the investment to try to save it, especially if you have Dutch elm disease locally or directly adjacent, which you did.
Yeah, and that's been my opinion. I figured it's worth a shot, so we were happy to do it. The other question I have, this was a sort of a particularly bad year for removals, is that right? Can you speak to sort of how many
removals
here?
Yeah, we kind of broke a bad record this year with elm removals due to Dutch elm disease. I think it was 134? 37. The highest number prior to that was 89, I believe. And it was high across the state. And there hasn't been, from the professionals that I've talked to, they haven't been able to identify a specific reason. It could be that we didn't have a particularly cold winter, meaning we didn't have a long stretch of cold, and maybe that didn't kill as many bugs as typically would die during the winter. There's a lot of guesses, but no real scientifically proven reason why the numbers are increased. Maybe the populations are somewhat cyclical, like pine beetle is out west. Just don't have a great answer for you. Our management program consists of a few different actions. First one obviously is sanitation, which is the big one everyone is aware of, and that just means removing a tree that's infected. We have a lab where we actually pull a sample out of the tree, take it to our lab and test it to grow the fungus, which is the cause of Dutch elm disease. So we have that, and if a tree tests positive, we work with homeowners, if it's on private property, to get those trees removed as efficiently as possible. It's on the boulevard. Because there was a lot this year, the timeline was extended, but typically we try to get there within a week of notification. And then we have a firewood survey. So in the early spring, after snow melts, when we can see firewood, we'll take a inventory around the city trying to identify where elmwood is. But those beetles that spread Dutch elm disease will overwinter underneath the bark of dead branches. And then we identify homeowners that they should get rid of that wood to prevent the spread of the disease. And that's been really successful historically for us, but this year was just a
bad year.
Bad year, for lack of better words. So.
Thank you. I would anticipate that as we do more inventory projects as an HPC and define other historic districts in town, that we'll probably be interacting with forestry for those public areas that you could perhaps, that department can recommend how we address challenges to those within a historic district, just as you have with the Cathedral District. And
I have a question.
You guys are the ones that know.
Yeah. Was Hillside Park ever been identified as having some sort of historical significance? If you look at aerial images from before the 50s, you can see that park was planted with elm trees. Was there anything there?
It was actually, according to the material I was just looking at last week, it was part of WPA era, one of the areas that came out of the New Deal.
Okay.
Was giving, it gave communities a smorgasbord of choices of civic improvement projects that those monies could be used for. And they would include all the sanitation and a lot of sewer, a lot of things, but also the amenities to the community. So it's like when you hear about the World's Fair or the Olympics, when they come into a community, they do their thing, but they're supposed to leave something substantial behind, not just stuff that is just for that. And this New Deal stuff was supposed to do that. Did all the uninteresting things like, putting paving things and running things like that, but you also gave them something that they could be proud of and celebrate happiness at the end of a bad time. And so they did a whole lot across the country with the development of parks. And in the documents that the city, that they're up at the State Archives, it talks about how that money was used for purchasing trees and planning and building some of the structures in the parks, like in Custer Park and in Sibley, and also there was a migrant camp at Sibley. There are a lot of those cobble structures that you see anywhere around town. Those all pretty much came out of the what federal money came in to support the projects that the community chose.
Mm-hmm.
And so the city auditors and commissioners chose to make Hillside Park a destination park for the city. So it's quite interesting how you can see concretely where that began. The park wasn't just a place everybody decided, it was planned. It didn't just happen. So, Mr. Nodland.
Chair Sackerson. Also, at the top of that hill is one of the oldest cemeteries in Bismarck. And so that was the route and the way that people went to get to the, it was where the Catholic cemetery was from very early on. And so I don't know which of those plantings are older, if they are that old, but just so you know.
The cemetery has trees of very similar scale.
So whether or not they planted the route up to the cemetery or not.
It would be interesting to share. Perhaps I can drag that stuff out and share it with forestry, because it might be interesting. It might give forestry some idea of what they're dealing with in some of the parks, as far as the age and the history of it.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we can give you some information for once.
Great.
Do we have any other questions? Well, we can probably let you get back to your real job now.
I appreciate the opportunity, and I just coming to Bismarck, I'm not from here, if you do not know me. And I never, before getting this job, it was never, the prairie was not the location where I thought a forester would be, right? And so I have family from Missouri and friends from out west come, and they're always surprised at the urban forest and the canopy cover that we have. As you come from the north side of town and you're going downhill, you can see across our community. And they always have positive things to say about the beauty of our community. And a significant reason that is one, because of the work community development is doing on new development, but also the priority that Bismarck has placed on managing our urban forests. So we've done good work, and citizens of Bismarck should be proud of what we have, because not a lot of communities in North Dakota have it. I'll say pridefully. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Doug. Next on the regular agenda is the 2024 Historic Preservation Fund Grant Update.
Good afternoon, Chair Sackerson and Commissioners. The Bismarck Historic Preservation Commission hosted the 2024 Certified Local Government Conference on October 7th at the Bismarck Event Center. 20 people attended the conference, including representatives from the State Historical Society of North Dakota, and 6 of the 8 North Dakota certified local governments. Through this event, we did not spend as much as we had budgeted within this grant. There's approximately $2,500 left over from our budgeted amount. Since the conference was shorter than what was originally anticipated, this remaining amount will need to be utilized in another manner. Some potential options include adding this $2,500 amount to the budget for the South Capitol Survey, hosting a history event, or creating signage for local historic sites. Staff recommends that the Preservation Commission determines where the additional funds that were originally included within the 2024 CLG conference budget will be utilized.
I have a question for you, Lauren. How much, do we recall how much each talking trail point cost us to develop when we developed that? Was it like $500 of?
Chair Sackerson, Commissioners, I believe the total budgeted amount that we spent on that project was close to $10,000. I'd have to double check our previous budget for that project. And I believe that only included 10 sites, if I'm not mistaken, so that's roughly about 1,000 per site.
Thank you. So folks, any ideas on what you'd like to see that spent for, spent on? I'd hope maybe that the talking trails were less, because that would be a simple way to get Scooter to throw together a few talking trail scripts and do that, but if it's 1,000, then that's kind of like we can use that many more effectively elsewhere, I would think. Well, Lauren's list included adding it to the to our new the survey that we're doing, which is also, I think we've, yes, Commissioner Jackson.
So skipping ahead in the agenda, I know on the next item we're talking about the 2025 grant application and potential uses for that, and one of the items listed in there is that there's an effort among various people in the community to do some sort of recognition of the 1935 Bismarck baseball team and Satchel Paige. So when I saw that on the 2025 list, I wondered about the timing, because we probably won't get those funds until May of next year or something like that, and those plans are sort of moving forward to have something ready for next summer. So I'm wondering if this leftover roughly 2,500 would be something we could contribute to that effort, because we've actually got the money now and they're in the process of ramping up towards something for next summer. So
Thank you, Commissioner Jackson. Now that has a timeliness that's got a certain amount of appeal. Commissioner Nodland.
Chair Saxon and Commissioner Jackson, is that something being done by a private entity or a nonprofit or who's doing it?
The park board has been, I haven't followed it super closely, but the park board has been discussing it, and I think they've even, I talked to Mark Zimmerman about it a number of weeks ago, but I think the park board actually got some bids for a statue of Satchel Paige to put somewhere down at the ballpark. I think they're probably trying to figure out how it's going to be paid for. I think the parks will probably provide some of the money, but they'll need to fundraise for the rest.
I believe Lauren has some information.
Chair Sackerson, commissioners, so I was actually contacted by somebody who works for the Parks and Recreation District on this potential item. Just getting some information on what our process is for grants and everything, which is why it was included here. It's not concrete if they would like the help, but it is a potential option that we could reach out and see if there's anything that we could help contribute to this potential project.
Thank you, Lauren. Yeah, no, nothing that they're going to do in that is going to be cheap.
No.
You know, you can't do any commemorative thing like that correctly without spending probably more money than they really want to. So it might be quite welcome. Commissioner Nodland.
Well, I think it's a good idea. I guess my question would be, is it accessible to the public or is it inside of the ball grounds?
I don't know that they've settled on a location, but it would be somewhere, I think, out on the plaza before you enter the actual ballpark.
Little area.
I imagine that they're planning a whole program around it of education about that baseball team.
Absolutely. So. Yeah, they're planning a lot of different things.
I guess my other question would be, what of our projects existing that we have going might need, is there anything that we're currently doing? I know that the timeline books were outrageously expensive for right now, so not that. But are there any other ongoing projects that we have that could use some help?
Commissioner Engel.
Thank you. So when we were down at the Florida conference, one of the things that Scooter saw was a presentation on QR code signage that is actually like semi-permanent, but on the cement in the walking districts. And I would think that we could maybe do that for the timeline to point them to the online, because I know several people that I've talked to who are actually historically minded people didn't know that the timeline existed either in paper form or online. So that might be a quick way to do that, and we could get those onto the downtown area at least. I don't know how much they are or what materials that actually is, but they had it in the cement.
Commissioner Engel, Chair Commissioners, I've done a little bit of research since I had also attended that session with Commissioners Pursley. Those decals or hot spots is what they were called during the session. They're actually a 3M product. They go between $80 to $100 for that. There is the potential that it could be reused. However, you would go in with it being a one-off use for it, so it could be a temporary installation over the summer or pretty much during the summer between a certain set of months where you could have that on sidewalks with Public Works and Engineering signing off on the okay to place those down. Or you could work with businesses to put up cling signs for their windows if that's something they would like to opt into. That's kind of how this session at the CLG conference was run, and they offered multiple signage opportunities, so it could be a possibility that way, and the signs were fairly reasonably priced compared to a metal plaque.
Thank you. That seems as if we could maybe roll that, again, going further in the agenda, looking at other uses for stuff we can ask for that we don't have. We do a little more exploration on sites and stuff like that. I don't know. I think we have to get this money spent, that we're talking about right now, spent pretty quick to get it, to get it out.
Is that 2 years?
2024?
Chair Sackerson, commissioners, this is our most recent grant, so we do have a bit of time on this. It's put in this here just to get clarification on where we're looking to spend it in the future so we can start working towards that project or projects.
Any other options that people want to discuss? I'm kind of intrigued by the satchel page thing. I'm wondering if we were to put some of that money for that, might that be a first location for one of the QR signs or talking, you know, something like that as well. You know, get more bang for it. Commissioner Nodland.
I don't want to change up the subject that you've raised, but I haven't, we had been working on I guess what I'm curious is of our existing projects that we have, like we're working on a school guide or a school curriculum thing. Is that something that is moving forward or that could, I mean, we have so many existing projects. I don't mind starting in new ones, and I assume our strategic planning is going to get us to that.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if they're going to get us there before this grant is due.
We have a lot of stuff that's just starting to call our attention. That's why I was wondering about this $2,500, whether that was something that needed to just get cleared out for.
We've got 2 years.
Yeah, but yes. No. So, but if it doesn't need to get cleared out immediately, then, and it can roll into something else, then we certainly do have other things that we can add it to if we can add it to it. It just is what people have as a sort of a priority that we think could use that extra money. But again, on our we don't really have a set idea yet on the send kit, because I think that those meetings are still about to happen. Some of the people that are going to be working on that, not from the HPC, have actually been out of the country for a while. So I don't think there's been a lot of movement and planning on that other than that we have the boxes. So.
So on the send kits, we used was it 2024 grant funds that we used for the send kits, right? So we have an amount specified for that.
Commissioner Jackson, Chair Commissioners, that's correct. I'd have to pull up the budget, but I believe we have a pretty decent amount in there. Most of what we have budgeted is actually donated labor for that, since it's anticipated that the objects and the worksheets that would be included within the send kits wouldn't cost as much overall, just based on conversations with the State Historical Society of North Dakota as well as South Dakota State Historical Society, who both run those programs.
Well, I guess we need to decide what to do with that $2,500.
Or do we?
Well, we do. We need to put it somewhere.
We need to at least start exploring
potential uses,
I think.
So if we can attach it to something we're already doing, then that's the most expedient thing to do. Commissioner Nodland?
Well, I guess I'm, you know, because our next agenda item is what are our next projects. And so if
But that's for the 2025.
Right. But if it's over, and so I'm just, if I don't even, I couldn't tell you what projects we still have open for this year for this 2024 grant. And so, I mean, maybe Lauren can tell us what's still open, and then from our previous grants, is there anything that we didn't get finished or that would mean, I guess it feels like it all should all fit together, and it should fit into our strategic plan, and it should fit into the survey, and what is it that we, as an entity, rather than just picking away at if, you know, to we, if we have some time, what are we doing, and what do we need to do? I guess I just feel like.
Right, so Lauren, you want to address what we have still open?
Commissioner Nodland, Chair, Commissioners, for our 2023 grants, the projects that we still currently have open are the Highland Acres Historic Walking Tour, Driving Tour Map, the downtown banners, as well as for both design, production, and installation, as well as the production and installation of the cathedral area banners. For the 2024 grants, the projects that are still open for that one include the send kits, as well as the survey of the South Capitol area. And then overall, we also have the historic preservation plan, but that's not included within our grants.
The satchel page statute, I mean, I think it's a good idea because the timing works out really well. Because like I said, if we include something like that in our 2025 application, by the time we get that money, it's probably too late for that project. But if we have $2,500 now, that's pretty good timing for that project. It's also going to be a pretty, you know, it's going to get a lot of public attention, that 90th anniversary. So I think it's good for the HPC to be part of something like that that's going to get a lot of public attention. And as far as our strategic plan, you know, it's obviously not finished. Once it is finished, this is certainly something that fits within our plan. I mean, we are about educating the public and bringing more awareness to our local history. So being involved in a very public project like this, Satchel Paige statue, I think falls, regardless of how the plan shakes out, it's gonna fall within our goals.
Thank you, Commissioner Jackson. Well, and it is true that one of the things that we talked about quite a bit is that we need to begin to establish more partnering with other entities in the city. And if this is something that's coming through the park and through different things, that maybe that makes sense to catch on that project and support it. And as Commissioner Jackson said, it is nice that there would be some money in hand rather than have to wait and just pledge we're gonna do it later. So, yes, Commissioner Engel.
Thanks, Chair Sackerson. Jackson. It's been a long day already. Commissioner Jackson, is there a satchel page timeline write-up?
There's a write-up on the 35 team at Satchel Paige.
Okay, so if there is, I would think that if we could use that money to donate to that, but kind of have an agreement that at some point, if we could have some sort of reference at the site or location with the ball field and the parks board, that it could tie back or some reference, a QR code there to direct them to the timeline, I think that would be a twofer.
Yeah.
Interesting. Commissioner
Zenker. Chair Sackerson, committee members, I think we should just let Lauren call the Parks and Rec and bring us back the details for the next meeting. And so we don't have to talk about speculative situations. Let's see where the statue is going to be. Let's see what it's going to be and where it is from an access point for the public. And then what if they have some more details that we could have. I would fully support earmarking that $2,500 for that project.
Does that that be something that you'd be able to do for the next meeting?
Chair Sackerson, Commissioners, that would be fine. I just wanted direction on where we were headed with this money. I can definitely talk to representatives from Parks and Rec and see if they can come in at our next meeting to discuss this item further.
So could we have a speculative, Commissioner Nolan?
In the past, we have had to move back through the state as well. Could Lauren have that conversation as well, that this would be inappropriate?
Oh, to check with Amy Munson that's allowable. Commissioner Zenker.
I was just going to ask, do you, is that consensus or do you want a motion? So I'll make that stuff that I rambled on a motion and add in there that Lauren checks with Amy Munson to make sure it's all cool with everybody involved.
I'll second that motion.
We have a motion from Commissioner Zenker and a second from Commissioner Jackson. Do we have any, from Swanson, do we have any further discussion? Hearing none. Annie?
Commissioner Swanson?
Yes.
Commissioner Zenker?
Yes.
Commissioner Jackson?
Yes.
Commissioner Engel?
Yes.
Commissioner Nodland?
Yes.
Chair Sackerson?
Yes. Thank you, everyone. All right, well, now we will move on to item C on the regular agenda, identification of the 2025 Historic Preservation Fund grant projects. Well, Lauren got the first half of the meeting, you know, without having to stand up there, but now you're back.
Chair Sackerson and Commissioners, applications for the 2025 Historic Preservation Fund grant for certified local governments specifically will open in January 2025. Applications are typically due early to mid-February and must be approved by the Bismarck City Commission prior to submittal to the State Historical Society of North Dakota. The goal is to have the draft application ready by December for the Historic Preservation Commission to review and provide comments on. After that, an updated version will be provided at the January Historic Preservation Commission meeting with the hopes that the application would be approved by this entity. And then that draft application will then be submitted to the City Commission for final approval to apply for that grant. A minimum of 10% of the Historic Preservation grant funds dispersed through the National Park Service to the State Historical Society of North Dakota will be granted to the 8 North Dakota certified local governments and awarded through a competitive grant process. This is where we get most of our grants for our board. This funding application through the State Historical Society of North Dakota is only eligible to the 8 certified local governments. So that 10% is only for those 8 entities. The funding can be used for a wide range of the certified local government supportive activities, which would include administration of this commission, National Register nominations, surveys, historic education, historic promotion, planning projects. The grant does require a 40% local match. However, in-kind donated labor or items as well as documented contributions could be considered as that local match. So city funds would not necessarily be needed for this. It could be covered all through donated labor. A list of topics that have come up within the previous year, either through discussions or brought up by the public, or included within the survey that was provided. Those were included within the agenda packet and in that list there. Some of those items include the expansion of the downtown historic district or additional research within that area, interpretive material for different parks along the Missouri River, especially since they are coming up on their 100th year for Parks and Recreation. Contribution to the Satchel Paige statue, which was previously discussed. Printing additional timeline booklets. We are fairly low on our hard copies. I know this was previously discussed that the goal is to have it all online with a view hard copies, but since we are very low, it's something to consider. Design services for the historic preservation plan. That subcommittee is looking to have the content written within the next 6 months. So we're looking to finalize everything with the different graphics and layout of the content for that, which would be a great opportunity to hire a consultant to help with the design services for that. History of the police, fire, and EMS services in Bismarck. This has been touched on a little bit in the past. However, some members of the community have brought this forward as a potential option to look at. So that's why it's included here. Pre-disaster surveying, this was brought up at the CLG conference and again when it was discussed in front of this commission and could be a potential option. Signage of historic sites, summer historic event series or an event, or a history trail in the park. So those are all potential options. However, if you do have any additional ideas, more than welcome to provide them. Those were just compiled from previous meetings and discussions with community members. Staff recommends reviewing the list or providing additional options. Identify and rank in importance for potential ideas or projects that staff can start to look at for that grant application. The fourth potential project will be a backup option. We typically have about three options within each grant application, but just in case one of those doesn't work as well as we would have liked, it would be nice to have a fourth one to start researching and providing that information on in the application. Thank you.
Thank you, Lauren. So we need to kind of rank or get some priorities here on which ones we feel are ones we are still interested in, still would like to proceed with. So if we can start thinking here about a priority, let's say maybe pick four of the ones that we think are the most we can agree on, that are ones we might look at exploring. If anybody has any suggestions on what they think would be the priority, I'm beginning to think that partnering with the park board at this time might be something going forward with there may be some plans, and if we're looking at possibly history trails or something like that in the park, that maybe as the park board develops its way that they're dealing with their 100 year, that perhaps some of the item on the list of could even combine summer historic events with the development of a history trail in conjunction with the park board might be something that looking at lumping a couple of things on that list together that I would see personally would be a good one. But the expansion of the downtown historic district, of course, has been something that we've been talking about for some time. So anybody want to throw out a priority list for me?
Chair Sackerson, I think the one that jumped out to me was the expansion of the downtown historic district, just because like you mentioned, we've been talking about it for a long time. It tends to be a fairly expensive undertaking. Like Highland Acres is expensive, this would be expensive. I think it's long overdue. I mean, it needs a refresh and probably an expansion, just given how long it's been. That would be my top priority, I think, is the expansion of that district. On the history trail in the park, I guess maybe we've talked about this before and I just don't remember. Would that be like a history of a particular park, or I don't remember what we've discussed in the past?
Well, I think that it's hard to remember exactly if we've talked about it before. The other communities do trails through their parks, and they can be done in many different ways. They can either take a story, take a historic character, take something that's connected with that park and have it be an educational, historical trail that goes through a particular park. I know they do that in Des Moines and some other communities that I'm aware of. There's some that don't use history as a theme, but get permission to use a children's book, and they have the pages printed throughout the park. They're not inexpensive to do, but you know, when you look at how much, like, if you go up to Double Ditch and you have the signage that goes through there, that's fairly important as an educational tool for visiting that particular site. But, you know, it's come up that, is that something that is, that we would be interested in developing? But it would have to be in conjunction with the park. So again, all these things that are in conjunction with the park, sort of always have to take a, well, we have to talk to the park first. But, Commissioner Engel.
Thank you, Chair Sackerson. I would like to have a bigger discussion with the parks to see what their thoughts are on us helping and or having signage along that before we go forward with saying we're gonna put money to it. I agree the downtown historic district definitely needs some attention. And then I think a no-brainer is the design services. If we're doing all of this legwork to update the plan, we should probably have it look good for people to want to reference it. So those are my probably top three.
Commissioner Swanson.
Yeah, I like the idea of a signage for historic sites. I mean, just to have something a little more low-tech, but it's also, you know, right, you know, if we're talking about putting signage in front of downtown buildings, you know, that the information is directly there. It's tangible. People can see it and they can read about it. And, you know, it's instead of walking around with, you know, all the high-tech stuff, you've got some way of visitors in town, for instance, would not previously know about that, walking trails or whatever, you know, and would be, you know, happy to see something that would identify all of these sites that we...
So you would suggest that we're, if we did interpretive signage on things, that we don't just focus on a digital presence, but if we're doing that, we can have both. You know, if you're having a talking trail or a marker, then
yeah,
we can also
yeah.
have something else, not one versus one or the other, but maybe combine those.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yep. Commissioner Nodland.
I would say that my first priority would be the revisit of the downtown historic district. I wouldn't call it an expansion right away. I mean, there's plenty that needs to be fixed of what's existing. I'd just call it an update, and that's going to include the buildings that are now historic. My second would be the design services as well. Can we consider things that aren't on the list, or are we limited to this?
Yeah. No, we can consider what's not on the list.
So
we're just trying to get some sort of a.
Mm-hmm. So I would say the thing that Commissioner Swanson brought up last time was to talk to and discuss some things with New Americans, and this last week I gave a talk with a combination of the Chamber of Commerce and Global Neighbors to a leadership group of New Americans. They were from everywhere in the world, from Vietnam and South Korea to Ukraine to African, various Congo and various other African nations, but they don't have a, you know, I gave them our timeline, I did a talk, someone from the Historical Society came to talk, but one of the questions they asked was, for their conferences and for their work, would the HBC be willing to partner with them? In essence, like this, where, you know, the history of Police Fire and EMS, maybe that would be something we could do, is partner with those groups and come up with something for...
A way for them to integrate
to learn
the
their
community
own,
more?
Yeah, there's virtually no history existing of, other than our timeline, of the contributions over 150 years of Bismarck's history. So, I mean, that's a history project like this one, this history of police fires. There have been a lot of different ethnic groups in Bismarck's history that have had a significant role. So they are particularly interested, some of them are interested in partnering with the HBC to come up with ways to teach newcomers to Bismarck, which would apply across every category of people who move here for business or for to live. And so I guess that would be another one I would propose. I don't know how, but I didn't, I mean, I this would take some some time to think about, but this isn't due today.
No, but that
that's one. That's one, and you had some ideas about that that I couldn't remember.
I don't remember either, actually. We'll have to talk about that. But I'm wondering about if we're gonna, are we gonna try to sort down to just four of these today?
It would be nice to get four.
Could we agree on one, the top priority one first, and then?
I think that sounds terrific.
Okay, I would propose that the priority project would be the expansion of the downtown historic district.
Update.
Be number one out of four.
Do we have a consensus head shake or hello on that one? Think everybody seems to agree on that, so thank you. We got number one on there. Anybody want to toss out a number two here?
The other thing I was going to suggest was that if we're going to be doing an update to the downtown, that's going to give us some information about specific buildings and things that are interesting. And so building in either QR codes or hard plaques or talking series about them, it could be built into that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, the information gained in that will can inform at least one or two of the other items on that, so we can cover that. I'm less inclined to be interested in the interpretive material along the parks, along the Missouri River at this point, simply because that whole riverfront development is just beginning to actually get itself together, and I think it would be presumptuous of us to throw in too fast until they actually get some plans that are really gelling, where we could perhaps and will integrate some historic features, historic information in that. But I think that's a little too quick, so I dropped that off the list. I do think that I think who mentioned the design services, is that
that should be on the top four. I don't know if it's number two, but should be in the top four.
Let's discuss what I'd be happy with it being number two, because I think that sometimes you need to just get that one knocked out. And if we focus, if we have that up on the priority list, then maybe that will actually get that thing kicked home instead of dragging around longer. Because we do need to get that. We all want that to be done and done effectively and done presentably. So, has anybody got a challenge for a number two for design services that they'd like to see before that? So we can do a head nod, or if we think that that design services could be in the number two spot. All right.
However you want to handle it.
I'm just doing a head nod. Yes. Commissioner
Sanders. Chair Christian, so how much is this grant typically, what's the average grant that we receive?
Lauren?
Commissioner Zanker, Chair Commissioners, that's a great question. So previously, within the past 3 years, our grants have totaled around $20,000 to $25,000 within grant funds that we asked for. We do create an estimated budget within our grant, just based on research that we've done, either through other similar projects or discussion with entities within the community that could provide those particular services. One notable grant that we did have that was a little bit more extensive, it was closer to $35,000 that we had, and that was for the Highland Acres Historic District, which was a very big project that exceeded that grant quite a bit. So
when you say $20,000 over the last 3 years, was it a total of $20,000 or
20,
each year?
Each year.
So with that being said, with the design services that we just did at the Cathedral District, wasn't that like $10,000? So what do we, if we come up with four, obviously we don't have, we're only got $20,000 to spend, right? And these are grant funds. And if the design service is gonna take 50% of that $20,000, I don't think we need four. We're probably maxed out already if those two go, right? I mean, because we just spent 10 to design the pole flags at,
yeah.
Right?
So, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Chair Sackerson.
Mr. Nodland.
Commissioner Zachary, in the past we've asked like for the Highland Acres one, which started at 25,000 just for that project, plus we did an additional one, so it's an ask, and then they may only give us a portion.
Sure. Yep.
And so,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That we've kind of in the past done it as well. Let's ask for the moon and
right.
See where
we're. I'm just asking for the ballpark because
yeah.
Yeah.
You can,
yeah.
If you can't get there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do feel that, you know, you have to, it's quite, you're quite right. We probably won't fund four, but you never know.
Mm-hmm.
I guess those look real, let's look real serious. We have number one, but let's look real seriously at what two would be. Lauren.
I would like to clarify, the only reason I was asking for four potential options, Chair Sackerson and Commissioners, is because we've had changes in the past to the change of scope based on difficulty with projects to get them up and running from the initial
mm-hmm.
items, and it's taken a while to find a solution to fill in that budgeted portion. It's a bit easier for staff to provide you information if that happens in the future, that you already have an item that you've discussed and have consensus on that you would like to implement. We typically only apply for three projects. The fourth project is always administration of the Historic Preservation Commission, and that's always through donated labor of staff's time.
Thank you. Commissioner Nodland.
I guess what I'm going to suggest is that as part of the update of the Downtown Historic District, because we're going to be adding banners, and if we're going to be identifying sites that we could put QR codes or plaques on, and the other thing is the pre-disaster surveying is going to, that could be built into that as well, of what of these buildings, you know, what of our downtown district, and of it, that could be included as part of that project for whomever's doing that project to address at least those.
Commissioner Jackson suggested we were going to do a review of the existing district.
Yeah.
That would be part of this, that yeah. Package too.
And so that would put about four of those things into one, at least that could put the four of those things into one. Sign it, because we're doing the banners, if we update the district and expand it, we could put in, we would maybe have new, bigger, more banners. I mean, so if we're going to address, if our number one priority is the downtown district, we could build a bunch of this promotion of it into that project. So we came out of that project with the signage, with the plaque, you know, whatever on the street, whether it's a QR code or.
That would be a nice big project. Yeah,
yeah, that would be a pretty chunky project.
And if it's like Highland Acres where it takes two or three grant cycles, I mean, it would take what it would take.
Right.
Yeah. So that sort of potentially lumps a lot into that, which is fine. We can see how that actually builds itself when we start looking at it. The contribution to the Satchel Paige thing, I think it moves up right underneath that, because I do think that that's a really excellent opportunity for visible cooperation with another community group that we can, that fits in with our mission. So what's our, so we're looking at, is there anyone to, we're revisiting the downtown historic district, which will take in some of the signage, some of the pre-disaster survey, and some of those other items as that's developed. So we can cut a number of those things off. And so we'd be looking at that. We'd be looking at design services and contribution to the Satchel Paige.
Satchel Paige one is part of the previous grant, so that's 24.
Can I
do you fall back to this?
Yeah.
Commissioners, chair, commissioners, I mean, the essential page thing could be a fallback. Because obviously, whenever you said, whatever they're going to spend is going to be more than what they really wanted to spend. So even though we have potential $2,500 earmarked for that, we could excess funds for 25, we could help them.
Yeah. And there may be some other aspects to that.
That we don't know yet.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. More than just the statues.
Absolutely. Yep. So. Commissioner Jackson, right.
So it looks like we have about three different things that we can give you to work with. Is that, do we need a motion on any of this, or is a consensus, have we gotten enough consensus in our conversation to?
Is there any potential fourth option? I know you guys have discussed quite a lot. I just want an additional one in case any of this falls.
Commissioner Jackson.
So I'm a little intrigued by this history of the police, fire, and EMS services in Bismarck. I don't know whose idea that was, but it might be kind of a nice opportunity to partner with the police department and the fire department. And I know there's some folks there that are pretty interested in their own history, and so that one caught my eye.
That sounds good to me as well. Commissioner Swanson.
We had the awards. The program that we discussed last time, and that we were talking about plaques and certificates and all that sort of thing. That one has to be developed, right?
It's true.
Pulled together.
Whoops.
And something has to. Somebody's got to pay for it.
Yeah, that's true.
Now you have five.
I'm going rethinking on the clock here. Well, I guess we can certainly put that on that we'll be needing to look at that too. And there may be a, you can have five on there, Lauren. Commissioner Engel.
I think it would be a great idea at this point, now that we've identified our top ones, if Lauren came back with some budgeting sort of ballparks for each one of these, and then we can decide.
That's a great point, Commissioner Engel, Chair Commissioners. So what I've typically, what I did the last time we wrote a grant for this specific opportunity, part of that process is creating a narrative and including that budgeted analysis within there. I can certainly start looking at the budget and try to provide some numbers for the next meeting. I probably wouldn't have the narrative ready until December for those items, but I can start looking at that budget to start narrowing down some of those options.
So we can see how realistic we are. So I think that sounds as if we've covered that about as well as we need to cover it right now. And I guess, do we have any other business? If we have no other business, then, we do.
Chair Sackerson, Commissioners, just a quick update on the Historic Preservation Plan Subcommittee. We did have a meeting last week. One of the items that came out of that subcommittee meeting, we'll be looking to host a meeting with individuals within the community, specifically Historic Preservation. Members from the State Historical Society of North Dakota, potentially different contractors, entities within the downtown that might have some idea on historic preservation difficulties or maybe different items to produce into a conversation. The goal is to have a conversation between not just professionals within the historic preservation field, but to get points of view from people who have to deal with different ordinances related to historic preservation, different items within the contracting field, etc. And we would like to host a meeting to get that input to include within a section of the historic preservation plan, which is regarding threats to historic preservation. It should help with an analysis of where we want to start looking or different areas or items that we want to look at in the future. So we will be looking to host that meeting before the end of the year to start discussions with members of those specific community entities.
Thank you, Lauren. Okay, well, then I can adjourn us until the 20th of November. Thanks, everyone.